It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
There's a new sheriff in town and his name is Reggie Hammond.
There, film lovers surviving the snowstorm. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoce, that's msocey at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. This show is available as a podcast, it's also available on iTunes. We also have a blog. It's been revamped a little. It is under different care.
New ownership,
and you can find that at
filmsociology.tumblr.com,
where you can see Kobe's latest squeals with glee over the Hunger Games trailer, and then the man laughing with the very adamant Beatles chart of quality. That's Kobe Slagle.
Hello.
And sitting in with us, and I want it noted, I asked on Wednesday, which of course, when I tell you when I asked the guest to be on the show, it can only be one person, and here's his intro.
Lawrence of Arabia, he's an English guy, he came to fight the Turkish.
Okay, Clark, right there, that's what I'm talking about. Lawrence of Arabia doesn't have any lyrics to it, doesn't have any words.
What do you mean doesn't have lyrics
to it? It's music. It's music.
Hey, I've seen the movie four times.
And there were no words to it.
What are you
doing? There are no words to that.
Did
you hear what I was singing earlier?
Somewhere I know that somebody, I think, wrote lyrics to this song.
Welcome back, Mike Perry.
I think it was Bill Murray who wrote lyrics to that song.
Didn't read one of his SNL skits.
Just want to say hi to everyone who gets the point.
That's where we are here at HG to the Point.
Yes. Get it?
And, get it? We have, and one of the actors we just heard, we have a story about that and an update involving Mike Perry.
Yes.
It's going to be very exciting.
Well, those of you who listen to the show on a regular basis may have heard that I have a small role in the classic film, Ernest Goes to Jail.
To which Mr. Perry, well, we'll leave a cliffhanger on that one.
Yes.
So
we were listening to Gaylord Sartain, who was my co-star in that film.
Yes, just like Bruce Willis was my co-star in Die Hard 2.
But I was in a local video store the other day and
came across it.
You don't see it much in stores anymore, but I had to buy the DVD just so I can see my 10 frames of fame. The downside of it is it also came with two other Ernest movies, but now I can watch myself and freeze frame, you know, where I am, so I don't miss me.
I do that. I do that at parties.
See the guy behind the guy?
That's me.
That's me.
I do that. Now, actually, I do need Die Hard 2 on Blu-ray, but I don't know if I should just hunker down and get the entire Die Hard box set. But then again, they keep making them, so I don't think make the collection. So.
On the same trip, I got the Live Free or Die Hard DVD, just so I have all of them.
Ridiculous. You know what? That's worth watching just for the stunts. And of course, that's great on DVD. If you just skip to the over-the-top stunt work in that film, that's pretty good.
Which is what you would come to expect from a Die Hard film. I mean, you're not really looking for plot.
No, but I think it's a little... I think Live Free or Die Hard especially had stunt nonsense going on with that picture. All right, we'll get some older titles in a little bit and some movie news. But I want to start with a film. No, we're not talking about the George Lucas movie where he had trouble getting financiers, so he financed it himself. That's with Cuba Gooding Jr. and Terrence Howard. Bully for them. No, we're going to talk about Pariah, and this is a film, independent film that's now coming to Indianapolis. when it's bucking for awards or hoping for awards, but it's a drama about an African-American teenage girl who's dealing with her sexuality and everybody else in her world. So here's the trailer.
Heartbreak opens onto the sunrise, for even breaking is opening. And I am broken. I'm open. See the love shine in through my cracks. See the light shine out through me. My spirit takes journey, my spirit takes flight, and I'm not running. I am choosing. I know for homecoming that I want to go with Craig.
And who are you going to go with, Lee?
I'm not going.
What do you mean you're not going?
If she doesn't want to go, she doesn't have to go.
For some reason, Lee just doesn't like anything I pick out for her anymore.
You look beautiful, baby.
This isn't me.
There's this new women's club up there by the liquor store. You haven't heard anything about it, right?
I've never even heard of it.
What if, say, somebody liked you? What if the person is kind of like a friend, but you know they like you more than that?
I told you, I talked to Alike. Everything's fine.
Did you ask her?
No, because I don't have to.
We don't want to face the facts.
No,
we don't
want to face not
the damn
look,
facts. Your daughter is turning into a damn man right in front of your eyes, and you
I am broken. I am broken open. Breaking is freeing. Broken is freedom. I am not broken. I'm free.
Okay, so one of the things that I enjoyed watching with this film is that it takes a pretty serious matter, and of course dealing with a teenage girl's sexuality. I don't think we've seen an African American woman dealing with her sexuality in a picture. Not like, and you know, there was a heterosexual version, which I believe was She Gotta Have It, you know, which guys to select, which guy to pick. But in this one, it's, and I think a lot of times mainstream Hollywood, when they have a film about dealing with one's sexuality, and I think of a I don't know if it's a positive example, but a good example was In-N-Out. Mm-hmm. With Kevin Klein, which was entertaining and funny, and of course it had also helped that it was written by Paul Rudnick, but this is one it's not used as a punchline. You know, it's set in the city. It, the way it's shot with its handheld and almost fairly unknown cast, this one especially, except for one actress, you know, it looks like it could be shot in the same neighborhood that Precious was shot in.
Yeah.
But not just lumping it as two African-American movies. But it treats it seriously. There is no black and white characters. We have the sister who's of course the princess of the family, and we have mom and dad. Now mom is a bit on a little domineering side, and then you have the passive father. The mom is played by Kim Wayans.
Yep.
Of the Wayans family. Now this isn't going to be a Monique level performance, but you know,
is getting some buzz.
It is getting some buzz, and it's, you know, it's, I think if you're a Wayans and you actually follow a script and don't have to just put the camera on and, you know,
and
mug.
And the way they keep popping out Wayans, they're going to you know, populate
the planet. It's an industry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an industry. So, I'm going to apologize in advance if I butcher this, but and of course the lead is an actress named Adepero Oduye. So I'm terrible. Sorry, ugly American, but I'm sorry. But with a name like Sosa, you should be, you know. You should be extra careful about stuff like this, but she's really good in it, and I think also the fact that, except for maybe Kim Wayans, it is a fairly unknown cast, so people aren't going, there's no way that big name star could play a role like this, and in some cases, if a big name actress was playing a woman dealing with her sexuality, in this case, it might put a dent in her career. So bully for them. It's not exhausting. It's under 90 minutes, and even the characters in high school and high school characters also out of central casting.
Yeah.
But we have some pretty good three-dimensional, fully functional, flushed out characters. And that's what you need with this film. And of course, there's the young woman has aspirations about becoming a writer and trying to get out of town and getting moving on with her life. So, you know, will she make it? Well, we don't do spoiler alerts on new films, 30 old films most definitely, but not new films. So, but no, it's a grown up movie, and of course, we are in the grown up movie season, unless you go see Contraband, which I still haven't seen, but that's okay.
Well, we can talk about it later. I saw it last.
Oh, you did? Okay, yes. We'll talk about Contraband in a little bit. So, anyway, grown up movie. Be a grown up. Go check it out.
Now that was a good movie.
Of course, also opening today is Haywire. That's the new an action movie directed by Steven Soderbergh with an MMA fighter, female.
With a pretty impressive supporting cast, but the lead is a former American gladiator.
As well.
So,
Blaze.
And if that's not enough encouragement for you to go see this movie.
That's right. Did you? You're too young for American Gladiators, right? That was. I think that was before your time.
I remember what. I don't know if it was in reruns or what, but I remember being real little and seeing some. Yeah.
So you had a thing for big muscular women named Blaze, Sonic.
I want to see this because it's of course Soderbergh.
Soderbergh's your guy.
Yep.
No matter. Have you seen all of Soderbergh's films?
Probably not.
We got to work on that.
Hang on.
You're gonna look on IMDb.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. So, well, Kobe's actually working during the show, bully for him. You saw Contraband last week.
I did.
A Mark Wahlberg action film released in January. How is it?
It's not the best heist film I've ever seen.
Is it the best Wahlberg heist film?
No, but they do kind of make a backhanded reference to
the Italian job. Okay.
They describe some hall, you could fit that in a Mini Cooper, or something like that. But it's got Kate Beckinsale in it as his wife, and two of the best. And they're going to take this wrong if they hear this, but they won't hear this. Giovanni Ribisi and Ben Foster, two of the best sleazy actors working today. They can play sleazy characters better than a lot of young actors today.
How's Ribisi? I heard Cajun accent.
Slightly, yeah. It was kind of hard to place. You knew he wasn't from around here.
Around these here parts.
Yeah, and I believe it's set in like Philadelphia or Boston, something like that.
Okay.
Wahlberg plays
Wahlberg.
And we mean the film actor, not the host of Antiques Roadshow, seen Monday nights here on WFYI1.
Nicely done.
Thank you. He plays a former smuggler who is drawn back into the business. He tries to get out, but they keep pulling him back in.
Thank you, Al.
When his really stupid brother-in-law botches up a heist and gets into debt with Giovanni Ribisi's hood character.
I see.
And so he's got to get back into the game to pay his debt. And the hijinks, continue from there.
Okay.
And Ben Foster plays his friend/... ex-smuggling partner.
They don't play Glenn Frey music in this, do they?
No.
Good.
No. It's not a difficult movie to figure out where the plot's going. There are no real surprises in it, but there are some few good action scenes, some good shoot 'em up things, J.K. Simmons, one of my favorite character actors.
We love J.K. Simmons.
Plays a crooked ship captain who is... keeping his eye on that boy.
He's a ship captain.
Say that carefully. Yes. So it's got a lot of good elements in it. If you like heist movies, you'll probably like this. Like I said, it's no Italian Job, but it's a nice way to spend 2 hours in a movie theater that you won't wish you got back.
It sounds like you could cleanse your palate with this, with all the to balance out the Oscar heavy award stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. This is a movie you really don't have to think about much.
Okay.
So, that's what you're looking for.
We got two from Mr. Perry, I think, on that one, Mr. Slagle. Yeah. All right, Kobe, you have the Steven Soderbergh IMDb list.
Yeah.
And how you doing there?
Nowhere close.
You're nowhere close. But you do love the Ocean's films.
Love them.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
Did I make you watch the original?
I've seen the original.
Okay. Yeah. On your own merit.
Yes.
Not me, not Fair Sweet Bianca.
Nope.
Okay. 60s were a different time.
They were a different time, that is for sure. Especially with that one, because that is something else.
Okay.
That is all kinds of slow.
Also opening in theaters, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, which is the new Stephen Daldry film, or is now being known, for those who can't remember the title, the Tom Hanks 9/11 drama with Sandra Bullock. And, read the Onion's review. It's in today's Indianapolis Star, and I know Chris Lloyd really, really liked it, my colleague at the IFJA. And, we'll see how you react to that. So that's also opening as well. And is that all this stuff that's open? Oh, Underworld Awakening. Not screened for the press, but it has Kate Beckinsale in skin-tight cat suits, which means Mr. Perry was seeing that about 7:30 this evening.
When's the show over?
At 6. If there's a 6:30 screening of it.
Yes, I will be seeing it probably this weekend.
Okay. And Red Tails, that's the George Lucas Tuskegee Airmen film with Cuba Gooding Jr., and Terrence Howard. So that's what's opening in theaters. When we come back after the break, we'll have stuff that's on DVD and Blu-ray. And, of course, the things I do for you, the wonderful listening audience. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Mike Perry, Kobe Slagle hanging out with me. We do have one other movie note. If you don't have plans tonight, and that's okay, it happens. Tonight, 7 o'clock at the IMA. What is happening over there, Mr. Slagle?
They're showing the 1946 film, A Matter of Life and Death, at 7 o'clock at the Toby.
So go check that out. Nice to see some winter movies over at the IMA.
Yes.
So... And it's indoors, mm-hmm. Not outdoors. That's in the summer.
Yeah.
Just so there's no confusion. All right. So there's a few new titles that are out on DVD and Blu-ray this week. We'll start with The Best of the Lot. Oh, I can't wait to tell you about the other two. But we will start with the latest film starring and directed by, and I believe produced, I can't remember if he had a hand in the screenplay, from George Clooney.
I think he did.
You're right. And it's called Ides of March. And there's Ryan Gosling. Settle down, ladies. As a writer who is working with George Clooney. And moral questions come up. And there's Paul Giamatti and Marissa Tomei and Evan Rachel Wood and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
What is not to love?
That cast. That's a solid cast.
Yep.
So let's hear some of it.
You okay?
We're gonna be fine.
We have to do it. It's the right thing to do, and nothing bad happens when you're doing the right thing.
Is this your personal theory? Because I can shoot holes in it.
Well, there's exceptions to every rule. Who is this?
Tom Duffy.
You got a couple of minutes? I'd like to sit down with you.
I can't be talking to you.
You got something the other guys don't have. You exude something. You draw people in.
You're the big man on campus. I'm just a lowly intern.
What time you got to work tomorrow?
9 a.m.
I thought I was being smooth and subtle.
No, you're pretty forward.
You have an idea how to tie a tie?
No, not a clue.
And you got the best media mind in the country. All the reporters love you.
If your boy wins, you get a job in the White House. He loses, you're back at a consulting firm.
I've worked on more campaigns than most people have. By the time they're 40, he's the only one that's going to actually make a difference in people's lives.
Either we're going to lead the world or we are going to bury our heads in the sand.
You're my brain trust.
So how are we doing?
What do you think, Stevie?
I think it's ours to the taking.
You are working for the wrong man. I want you to work for us.
Paul's my friend.
There's only one thing I value in this world, and that's loyalty. Without it, you're nothing.
You want to work for the friend, or do you want to work for the president?
I don't have to play dirty anymore. I got Morris.
Today marks the beginning of a fight between two sets of ideals.
If you get Thompson's endorsement, the race is over.
What does he want?
Cabinet post.
Never going to do it. I said I wasn't going to make those kind of deals.
Paul.
I met with Tom Duffy yesterday.
What?
I just didn't think he was
It doesn't matter what you thought. It matters what you did. It matters what you didn't do.
I'm coming to work for you.
Revenge makes people unpredictable. We can't have that.
What if I had something else?
Like what?
Something big.
Next president of the United States of America, Governor Mike Morris.
You really want this story getting out?
Dignity matters.
You were off the campaign, but you thought it was important to fix things.
Integrity matters. Our future depends on it.
Steven, don't do this.
Or say anything if I believe in it, but I have to believe in the cause.
I'm a bad host. I forgot to mention Jeffrey Wright is in this film as well.
Oh, he'll never forgive you.
I know. It's an unforgiving business, this film sociology business. As you already hear, strong cast.
Oh, yeah.
Really strong cast. And, you know, Clooney is cast perfectly as the next... The future of politics. And yes, even his campaign posters look a lot like
Obama.
Yeah, exactly. And Gosling is, I mean, everybody is solid. The one issue I have with it, and this is where being a crusty old film critic comes in, is the script.
Yeah.
Because it is obvious that George Clooney loves the political thrillers and dramas of the 1970s. Because the 70s, of course, Kobe.
Were a different time.
Different time. He loves films like The Candidate and The Parallax View, and even something like Bob, you know, maybe a 90s version like Bob Roberts.
Well, we are talking about the guy who brought
Good Night,
Failsafe
Good Luck
to live
yes, he
TV.
Did. He did do yeah the odd black and white live version of Failsafe, which was not in widescreen, by the way. I remember they had a camera goof, and I got to see that anyway. So he does love those, but here's a big shocker: politicians are corrupt.
And there are sleaze buckets on both sides of the aisle.
No, And Soylent Green are made out of people. So that's the problem. I think if you're a young, up-and-coming film goer, even younger than Mr. Slagle here, and have not seen that many political dramas, this might come as a big revelation with a big twist. Not so much for the crusty old people.
No.
And Kobe.
But great cast.
Yeah.
And you got a feel for... poor Ryan Gosling's character in this movie because he gets played by everyone else in this movie.
Exactly. And ladies, he keeps his shirt on. Sorry. It's just... I know there's a report on that. You know there is. I can't remember if Mackenzie and Gina were fighting over the Ryan Gosling correspondent position here at Film Sociology.
I heard he's yummy.
No, apparently she never said that on the air. But we can't prove that.
No.
Let's move on. It has nothing to do with this. Anyway, and there are times where a strong performance will overcome a weak script, and it really helps that there's that many people in this film.
Right.
So,
but when we get to the point where we find out what the scandal is, is such a letdown.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, really?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
I mean,
Yep. So, yep, this is how we felt.
Oh.
Flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
And you know what? That's the best of the new titles, because every now and then I have a day like yesterday. Yesterday was a long day. Stuff that I can talk about and stuff I cannot. Personal stuff. But there are times where, and I think I've talked to you about this before, Mr. Perry, especially when it gets to be near the end of the year, where I'm looking for films that have a potential of being on the best and the worst list. So I tend to catch up on some films that I missed in theaters and that are out on DVD. And, you know, I didn't really punish myself that much this year with trying to catch up on the potentially bad films at the end of the year. The worst film I saw at the end of the calendar year was Sucker Punch. And that's a painful picture in and of itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of pretty to look at, but, yeah, that's not a whole lot of substance.
No, not a whole lot of substance. Well, and there are two films, one in particular that could have made the list, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But this is what happens when you get a new membership at a store and it's half off rentals. So you rent back to back Abduction and Bucky Larson, Born to Be a Star.
Boy, you just really wanted to hurt yourself, didn't you?
Apparently. We'll start with Abduction, which stars Taylor Lautner. And ladies, I think two times, or maybe three, no shirt. So you can tell Fair Sweet Bianca that. The Twilight correspondent here at Film Sociology. And he plays a young man who, with his parents, has been trained to be a fighter. And then some bad guys come and kill the parents, and he finds out more and more. We're not going to play the audio. I'm not going to waste time with that. But he finds out his true identity, that he's really a trained assassin, and the CIA want him, and the bad guys want him, and the girl with the Denise Richards eyebrows want him, and Alfred Molina wants him, and
so
well, not different ways.
Yeah, it sounds like a really, really bad remake of Hannah.
Wow. I actually have been calling it The Bourne Fugitive, because there is the Rock'em Sock'em Fight'em and him running away from everybody. Only he's running around Pittsburgh in this one, not Chicago. Or as I love to see in Fugitive, the mountains of Illinois. Love the train wreck, but where'd those mountains come from? You know what? Same like the mountains in Muncie, Indiana, in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. So, yeah, Lautner, he gets to run, and he gets to beat people up. Not nearly enough, by the way. This could have been fairly decent mindless entertainment, except for a few things. One, the thing clocks in about an hour 55 and could have been a good 30 minutes shorter. Mm. But what they tried to do is, of course, try to establish some character, establish some three dimensions that don't really work. We get to see him at home. We get to see him with going to a high school party and meeting the girl across the street that he really likes. And I'm sitting there going, when does the action kick in? When does the action happen? Guess what? 30 minutes into the film before everything starts to start running.
Oh, that's too long.
That's too long.
I'm already asleep just listening to you describe it.
I have that effect. Thank you. And then there's not enough action for me, but there's a few moments. And Mr. Slagle saw the trailer and got angry at the trailer. And I love your reason, and I agree with you on this one. Go ahead.
It's just he's running around Pittsburgh in a Roberto Clemente Pirates jersey.
At PNC Park.
Yes, at PNC Park. Yes. As if say, oh, my character's from Pittsburgh, and I'm wearing a Clemente jersey. That means I've been around for a while, and I'm real.
And I think we're saying he wouldn't know Roberto Clemente if he saw a casket with Roberto Clemente's name on it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I can see that. Mm-hmm. I can see that. But, yes, there is a climate. My big issue with the film, there is some stunt work that's okay and some ridiculous action explosions. Thank you, director John Singleton. We'll get to you in a minute. But this is where the film angered me. Not the ridiculous action, not the uncharismatic leading man. By the way, ladies, there is one scene where he's with the girl sleeping out in the woods.
No.
To remind you. Yes, except he has a shirt on.
What?
But it's to remind you that he is in another movie where he sleeps outside with a girl. Yeah, there's that scene. See, you're angrier now, aren't you?
That's so tacky.
I know. So, But the scene at PNC Park, there is, and I don't think I'm giving away too much, sorry. But
it's not like we're going to see
it.
Yeah,
I know.
do you care if you do give away?
This one, not really.
If you save somebody by spoiling, so they don't go, so they don't get
accomplished.
Yeah, I think you've done a public
service.
Well,
there's a scene where he has to meet one of the bad guys during a ball game and thanks Bud Selig for letting this film be shot during your product.
Yep.
But they're sitting there. There's a ball game going on. It's a stadium filled with people. And as Taylor Lautner sits down in the like kind of hard plastic stadium seats that we all love, he reaches down and there's a little created pocket with a pistol.
Of course.
Of course. Now.
It is Pittsburgh.
It is Pittsburgh. but I saw this moment and I yelled at the TV as if I was watching the Lions lose. It was that bad. So we cut to the end. Okay, here it comes, folks. Switch it to another station if you want. I don't want to hear the ending of Abduction. But there is the hero and the girl with the Denise Richards eyebrows. And they're sitting in the empty PNC Park. First off, I thought once you left, you couldn't get back in. Is that like...
Yeah, typically that's how that goes.
Yeah, but I guess when you're John Singleton, it's okay. And I understand he's trying to make it's a interesting shot of, two people in an empty stadium, even though they was already using the ad campaign for Moneyball.
Yeah.
But they show the two sitting there in the empty stadium, surrounded by stadium seats that flip up.
Because there's nobody in them.
That's right, there's nobody in them. So... a stadium full of people are not going to notice a flipped-up seat with a pocket with a gun in it. I call shenanigans, ladies and gentlemen. That's what irritated me more than anything else. That little detail. But you're making a brainless
action of disbelief.
I suppose so, but no, I call BS on that one.
It's
that
really, dumb.
Yes, it is dumb, Joe. Thank you. That really bugged me. That more than the Roberto Clemente jersey. So
more than the waste of two of the best character actors who play, best villains in Hollywood. They got Jason Isaacs and. Alfred Molina.
And Alfred Molina, and Alfred Molina is kind of playing the Tommy Lee Jones character, and he's just there, and so Sigourney Weaver, she's in there as well, and it kind of bugged me that Maria Bello, it looked like was going to play Taylor Lautner's mother. I'm like, no, you're the kind of woman that would be cheering your son's shirtlessness in another movie. It's like that. What was it? The inspirational poster that says Twilight moms. Yeah. I think I already berated Fair Sweet Bianca about that. All right. So, yeah, this play it again. This is how I felt about Abduction.
It's dumb.
It's awful. I don't even know what else to say. It's just awful. Don't be bothered by it.
Even worse is Bucky Larson, born to be a star. Guess what? Happy Madison Productions. Yeah. Sorry.
No.
It stars Nick Swardson, who I don't think will ever star in another movie. He'll appear in them, but he won't star in him. Yes, he plays the title role, a kid from Iowa with really large beaver front teeth who finds out his parents were porn stars in the 70s. And, of course, 70s porn, Kobe.
Different time.
Slower. It was. So he decides to go out to Hollywood to become, a porn star. Somebody thought this was funny. Well, Adam Sandler, among others.
Well, he does have the beaver teeth.
He does have the beaver teeth. He does have the funny Midwestern accent. Apparently people in Iowa talk like they do in Minnesota. Mm. And the bad bowl haircut. And there's two recurring jokes throughout the film. One...
is this kind of like a weird Napoleon Dynamite ripoff only set in Iowa instead of Idaho?
No, because I like Napoleon Dynamite back in 2004 as opposed to the cartoon series now. We'll save that. But no, this is... it's kind of looks like it's trying to be Adam Sandler's version of Boogie Nights, which I'll elaborate on a little bit more. But in this one, the selling point of the actor is the opposite of what you expect an actor in the porn industry to have when it comes to gifts and talents. That's a nice way of putting it. And it's not under control. I think that's a nice, safe way of... Yes! I'm getting a disgusted look from Mike Perry.
Yeah.
There, I worded it properly. So that's pretty much the joke. Those two things. And he, of course, becomes a huge star in the adult entertainment world.
It's dumb.
I mean,
it is dumb. It is.
You see, now I've got all sorts of images going in my head. I mean, I'm picturing a guy with a garden hose that's going out of control.
Right. And yeah. But you didn't have to see it. I did. Yeah. I chose to pay half price to watch this. Not half price books. No, but although many copies will probably show up there. And on top of that, this easily could have been the worst film of the year. This could have been worse than Sucker Punch, except that there are actually two
A Rush song in it?
No, there's not a Rush song in it. That would make it better. No, but there are actually two decent performances in it that have no business being in this film. First, you have Christina Ricci as the manic pixie dream girl.
I'm sad for her now.
She plays a waitress who finds a special place in her heart for Bucky. Yeah, that's really sad. And Don Johnson, who plays he plays the sleazy movie director. And I know why Don took it. This is like his Burt Reynolds in Boogie Nights thing. And he actually made – there's a couple moments he made me laugh out loud. So damn you, Don Johnson and Christina Ricci, for not making this the worst film of the year and potentially one of the worst films of the decade.
So
although it still could
so
be.
So Johnson follows up Machete with this?
Well, he was also in A Good Old Fashioned Orgy, which is another comedy nobody saw, and I know he was in When Is Rome, which is that romantic comedy with Kristen Bell that nobody saw, and he's in the new Tarantino film. So I've also been in my spare time watching season 5 of Miami Vice. So nice to see Don Johnson getting work. Just and he's the highlight of this film, but hopefully better highlights will be coming. So yeah, this was a slug to watch.
Worst film you ever saw. Well, my next one will be better.
Except that I actually got two laughs out of it, and that was two more laughs of joy than Sucker Punch.
Well, we can look forward to the Razzies.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that'll qualify. That will probably qualify. And there's a great write-up about this
Richard
film.
Richard Probst is a voter for the Razzies.
Is he?
Yeah.
We'll have to have him in. Mm-hmm. Break down his ballot.
Get his haterade out.
Get his haterade out. We got to work on an intro.
Yeah.
Richard Probst, we won't tell you what, but we are working on your own intro. And I think it'll be Richard Probst approved, we hope. Okay, let's get to some older titles that are out on DVD and Blu-ray this week. Because of Red Tails, and I think George Lucas said that this is the first film about the Tuskegee Airmen, first feature film, except technically, but there was an HBO movie called The Tuskegee Airmen with Lawrence Fishburne, so that is out. Also, if you want this on, Courageous is out. That's it's fireproof, only it's firefighters. And Kirk Cameron's not involved.
Right.
That movie. Okay. Dead Poets Society is on Blu-ray for those that want to see low-key Robin Williams and Robert Sean Leonard and some of the others. Also, Good Morning Vietnam. So, yes, there's two Robin Williams films, probably at his acting height. Yeah. Really, you know,
nice contrast.
Yeah, nice contrast because you're able to put some of that focus to good use in Good Morning Vietnam, and then he actually followed Peter Weir's direction in Dead Poets Society, so that's pretty good. Films I've not thought about for a long time, but apparently they are on Blu-ray now if you need these. Dutch with Ed O'Neill. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, where he's with the kid.
Yeah, he's trying to score points with the...
That's out now.
Yeah,
and License to Drive with the two Coreys.
Woohoo!
Yep, that's three we got from Mike Perry. He's on a roll today, Kaiser roll. And then Stars.
Just save that one to play back later.
Stars with the Z, the cable company that also puts out movies. Wow, they put out Project X, the Matthew Broderick Helen Hunt monkey story. Drive Me Crazy, Melissa Joan Hart's film, and Bad Girls.
What you gonna do?
Female Western. Yeah.
What?
Oh, this was mid-90s, early to mid-90s. Mary Stuart Masterson, Andy McDowell, Drew Barrymore, and Mary Louise Parker.
Wow. I remember that.
Yeah. Fun to look at. Mm-hmm. Bad Western. Wow. Yeah. It's very unfortunate.
No, not Quick and the Dead. Bad, but bad.
Bad. Better, you know, technically better directing from Sam Raimi, but that's a bad Western. It looked cool, still silly. Let's see, what else is Journey to the Center of the Earth 3D Blu-ray.
Was that the Brendan Fraser. Yeah.
Let's move on. Citizen Kane. Cool. You haven't watched Citizen Kane yet, have you, Slagle?
Nope.
Gotta work on that. Lots of stuff we gotta work on with you. I know. Oh, very excited. I actually got both of these. And the great thing about the, yes, there's a certain book chain. It's a buy two, get one free. Mm-hmm. So I did. And this is, you would think Mrs. Sosie was going out of town for a week. It's actually just a weekend. No. Here's new on Criterion Blu-ray. Belle de Jour, late 60s Catherine Deneuve. She plays a housewife who takes a job as a prostitute. Directed by Luis Buñuel. She's amazing.
I want to see if he spells it right on the first try.
I'd be impressed.
I got it.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, wait. No, it like auto-completed.
Oh, good. Okay. Anyway, but it's an excellent film on top of The Presence of Miss Deneuve. Mm-hmm. My second favorite film of 2000, because I remember my top was Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Also out on Blu-ray, Traffic.
Excellent.
With Soderbergh.
Yes. Great performances from a bunch of people. An Oscar for Benicio Del Toro and Catherine Zeta-Jones is the second most beautiful pregnant woman ever. That's not bad. That's not
second
bad.
To who?
Mrs. Sosie. Oh, jeez, what's the matter with you?
Well, I didn't know where you were going.
You forgot
with that.
Who you were talking to.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
Every day of my wife's pregnancy, I told her she looked like Catherine Zeta-Jones in the movie Traffic. Not acting like it, because she's an evil woman in that film. But you know what? You hope your spouse gives you that much support that you want people to go kill people that are just going to take her husband in jail. But because of the buy two, get one free, I also got, it's not new, but I bought it anyway, Nicholas Roeg's Walkabout. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Yeah, she's fun.
Not coming to me right away.
That's quite okay. There's some HBO movies. We already mentioned Tuskegee Airmen, The Josephine Baker Story, and Thurgood. Lawrence Fishburne is Thurgood Marshall.
Yep.
We have The Boys and Company C, a Vietnam comedy drama from the late 70s. The Color Purple is on Blu-ray. Pretty good Spielberg film. I actually liked it. And great music by Rashida's dad.
Oh, yeah.
Is that his new title? We call him that?
Rashida's dad.
Quincy. Mr. Jones.
He was he spoke at my graduation.
Really?
Yep. Quincy.
Was Rashida there?
No.
I'm going to name drop a story in a second, and I will get to it. No. And then finally, also on Blu-ray, it's something for both men and women to look at, Picnic.
Yeah.
With William Holden.
The original.
Kim Novak. Yes, the original. Yeah. Yes. Kim Novak and William Holden, Rosalind Russell, Cliff Robertson, directed by Joshua Logan, based on the Ibsen play. Excellent film. We really enjoyed it. Okay. So I think we're going to keep on going. For now, I got to interview Dr. David Baker, jazz great.
Yes,
who was
I had a class with him.
I've had quality time with him, and
in the one-upsmanship aisle. Everybody, Matt Sosie.
Thank you. Brought to you by Haterade and steaks. But no, I had to interview, and he let me call him David. I thought that was cool. So I got to talk to David about Freddie Hubbard. And by the way, Red Clay is a great album.
It is a great album.
So shut up. But I'm interviewing David about Freddie, and he says that, you know, Freddie Hubbard, the greatest songwriter ever. And I was like, wow. So I get the quote.
That's a bold statement.
That is a bold statement. So and then we exchange pleasantries, and then I get off the phone. And a couple minutes later, he calls me back. Now, I know my journalism professors are going to spin in their graves when they hear this, but he calls me back and he says, could you do me a favor? I said, what? He goes, the thing I said about Freddie being being the greatest songwriter ever. I said, yeah. And he goes, could you make it one of the greatest? And he said, because when Quincy reads this, he's going to call me. I obliged.
Oh, man.
Then, of course, said, will you tell Quincy Jones about my blue show? Because, yes, it's gone. Things have changed because when you start sounding like a junior high guy, and it's not girls, musicians. We tell them I have a show, and you can listen online if he wants to, and it's 3 hours different. So I'll play music over his dinner. And, no, I've not heard from Quincy Jones, and probably won't.
That's too bad.
That is too bad.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good. Maybe he could hook you up with Rashida.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. Ever. Let's take a break and restore order. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
This is Sammy Terry being terrorized with you with Film Sociology. Have many pleasant nightmares.
We gotta get that dude back on.
Oh yeah.
And apparently, it came out this week that he's going to have a Valentine's Day screening of Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, cool!
The original. So we'll check on that. We'll have to give the knock on his casket and see if he'll come to that. That was you. Yeah, welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, Kobe Slagle, Mike Perry hanging out with me. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Always fun.
No problem.
This is a solid trio right here.
Film Sociology power trio?
We ought to have
shirts made.
That would make us... Who would be who? You're Neil, and I think who's Getty and who's Alex?
Oh,
I don't want to know.
I think Mike's Getty and you're Alex.
Wow, I didn't know Alex was fat. All right, let's move on. No, I was saying we're a cool enough trio. Quincy Jones will produce us.
Yeah,
that would be cool. All right, got a bunch of miscellaneous news items that have happened over the last few whenevers. But the National Film Registry had their 2011 editions that was announced last month, I believe. Yeah, this came out December 27th. And some of the films that made the cut this year, this is for preservation because, quote, because of their enduring significance to American culture, some of the film titles include Bambi from 1942. From 1953, The Big Heat with Glenn Ford, Lee Marvin, and Gloria Graham.
Wow.
I know. A Computer Animated Hand. And this was about Ed Catmull, the co-founder of Pixar Animation Studios. Mm-hmm. The 1912 Cry of the Children. What else do we have here? 1992's El Mariachi. Robert Rodriguez's first film, the $7,000 movie. Not yet. No, that was Desperado.
Oh, that's right.
Which was the big budget remake of El Mariachi. So, yes, between this and Kevin Smith, everybody thought they could make a movie back in the 90s. And that's just not as good. 1968's Faces, John Cassavetes, one of his best films with Jenna Rollins and John Marley. Really cool stuff. Fake Fruit Factory from 1986. Forrest Gump, not even the best picture of 1994. Not even the, probably the fifth of the best picture nominees from 1994. Don't ask me why I remember this, but this was the same year, also nominated, Pulp Fiction, Shawshank Redemption, Four Weddings and a Funeral, and Quiz Show.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten that.
That's why I'm here.
I break your concentration?
Yeah, we were quoting... Yes, we here at WFYI occasionally quote Sam Jackson in Pulp Fiction to a certain degree and with limited audience. So the Iron Horse, John Ford's film from 1924. The Kid, Charlie Chaplin's film. That's right, with Jackie Coogan. The Lost Weekend, That's right. That's Ray Milland winning a Best Oscar, Best Actor in 1945. That was directed by Billy Wilder. Norma Ray, Sally Field's first Best Actress film in 1979.
Is that the You Like Me win? Or
no,
was
that was that was the second.
The,
no, okay. It was well, the year before she was in Smokey and the Bandit. No, yeah. Hooper. No, she won for Norma Ray, and then she won for Places in the Heart, and she said she didn't feel the love the first time, and now this time You Like Me, You Really, Really Like Me, and that's that. What else? Porgy and Bess from 1959.
Yes.
Sidney Poitier, Dorothy Dandridge, Pearl Bailey, Sammy Davis Jr. Fair Sweet Bianca also thinks this movie is the stuff.
I don't know or if you do. That. Yeah, yes.
Wow, you saw something from the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Different time. Of course, it was also an opera.
I can like them. Yeah.
You can like those.
Yeah.
I bust your chops, of course. Silence of the Lambs from 1991. Best picture that year.
Yep.
Stand and Deliver. Edward James Olmos and Lou Diamond Phillips. I've been seeing both of them between watching season 5 of Miami Vice and Lou Diamond Phillips on Rachel and Guy's Celebrity Cook-Off.
That's yeah. What,
yeah, hard, heavy lifting and hard lifestyles at the Soucy House. We run hard with our TV watching a Food Network.
Well, I spend Friday nights with Guy. Sure.
There you go. He's off the hook. 1934's 20th Century with Howard Hawks and War of the Worlds from 1953. So just some of the films that made the National Film Registry. Good work for you. You haven't seen Silence, have you?
No.
You have not seen Silence of the Lambs.
Remember, are you really?
He doesn't. No. Remember, he doesn't like scary or freaky stuff.
Nope.
We still have a Hitchcock movie coming. Let's see. In other news, this one was more recent. This was on the Onion Newswire. Now, in the summer, there was some reports about people walking out of Tree of Life and trying to get their money back because they couldn't understand it. They thought it was
understandable.
Even though you shouldn't get your money back, that's a chance you take. Deal with it. Well, apparently some people in this is according to the Telegraph, according to a theater in Liverpool, England, some people were really upset that The Artist was a silent film.
What?
And demanded their money. You know what's even worse? It's a French silent film.
The Artist is brilliant.
Artist is a great film.
It is.
My best film pick for 2011. So, yeah, some people got really upset about that in Liverpool. That's a shame.
It was so fun watching them win the Golden Globes last week. I mean, it was bring the little dog up on stage. It was just
very cool.
Very sweet.
And then I've got this former Olympic fencer, Bob Anderson, died at the age of 89. And you'll like this, Kobe. Stage classic fight films for films like Return of the Jedi to The Princess Bride. Here are a few swashbuckling scenes to remember, including Return of the Jedi, Princess Bride, Die Another Day, Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl. He was a swordmaster on Mask of Zorro. So
that was his title, Swordmaster?
Swordmaster. Oh, yeah. Wouldn't you be if you could?
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Engineer Master. He's part of the all-stunt fundamentals team.
You can call yourself Board Master.
I'm the Fader Master.
Yeah, except it's B-O-R-E-D.
I set him up, you guys knock him
out. That's right. That's what we do here at Film Sociology. Wow. So, and the thing was with The Artist that was a nice surprise. I didn't know a whole lot about the film going in, which is rare for us crusty old film critics because between shows like Fresh Air and other movie publications and stuff that's just talked about and trailers, it's hard to walk into a movie not knowing anything before it starts. And all I knew about The Artist was that it was in black and white and it was about a silent actor. Yeah. I didn't know it was going to be a silent film.
Yeah, it was a silent film about silent films.
What a concept.
Yeah.
Like silent movie. Thanks, Mel Brooks. But, and by the way, technically there is some sound. There's music and there's a couple of cool moments involving sound that are a nice touch if the people in Liverpool had just been a little more patient and stick with the film.
And open-minded and they read the damn paper before they go to the movie.
Well, we've seen it. You see, it's especially in the mornings. It'll be 10:30, and some folks will just walk up and look at the screen and say, "Let's see that," and they do, not knowing a whole lot of what's going in. So, it's just
a lesson to be learned. Do your homework.
Sometimes it's okay to do your homework. Yeah. Now, if you're a and I put finger quotes up, if you're a pro like me, sometimes it would be nice to just, and maybe a couple times a year will happen where I was like, I got a screener or something, or we're allowed to go to a press screening or something. I'm like, I have no idea what this is about. And it's nice to have. It's nice to have that. It also reminds me of the woman that stormed out of Sweeney Todd, and I heard her say, I can't believe there's damn singing in this. Now, to be fair, there are regular versions. There's a regular film version of Sweeney Todd. I can't look it up, Kobe. I can't remember. I think it was if it wasn't Brendan Gleeson, it might have. It was one of the great Euro English character actors. It's just like they did after the success of the musical Phantom of the Opera. Robert Englund starred in a straight version of Phantom of the Opera, so it's possible. It's possible out there. Well, Kobe's looking on that.
I'm not seeing. I'm seeing the 2007 with Johnny Depp.
There's another title.
Sweeney Todd, Demon Bomber, Flea Street from 1982 on TV.
Well, click on that. Who starred in that?
Let's see here.
Crack action going on here at Film Sociology.
Nellie Lovett, or no, Angela Lansbury.
Oh, that's the filmed play version. Yeah. That's the other thing. It, at the Soci household, Mrs. Soci wants to make sure that Emma gets equal time with the original Broadway production with Angela Lansbury and the Tim Burton film version because she loved – Lynn got to see Sweeney Todd in New York, so.
Oh, it's just – it's a fuller, more complete education.
Yes, so that's what we do here at the Soci household. So
we teach, we love.
We do. Mr. Perry, what have you been seeing lately, new or old?
Let's see. Well, I got a bunch of DVDs over the holidays.
Oh,
I got
yeah.
The Best of Password, which is, you know, for me –
You are Mr. Game Show.
Yeah, I am Mr. Game Show. And, you know, so of course, you got young Betty here. And
she was feisty.
But you've also got Johnny Carson, Dick Van Dyke.
See, that's interesting that Johnny Carson did Password because you think he had his own show. He doesn't need to do anything else. He's got ex-wives to pay off. Yeah. And
these are the black and white episodes from the 60s.
Right.
I just got the first season of Spartacus, Blood and Sand. Because I don't get stars at home.
Not the Kirk Douglas film.
No.
Okay.
The Lucy Lawless, nearly naked version.
How's Lucy in this?
Well, I haven't put it in yet.
But, oh, okay.
I hear it's good.
Okay.
And I got, speaking of Betty White, I got a collection of classic television episodes from the 50s and 60s. She's and one of them is from her first series, Life with Elizabeth.
Life with Elizabeth. That's right.
So happy birthday, Betty.
That's right. She's lovely. Yeah. She'll hit on you, Kobe. She didn't care. And if she doesn't, Cloris Leachman will.
Go with Betty, man. Go with Betty.
Kobe, were you a Xena fan?
Xena? Yeah. Warrior Princess?
Yes.
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
No? Too muscular?
I was... You God, like when Pam, was that?
That was the 90s.
Early 90s.
Yes, but you were...
No.
No?
No, I was...
You'd love to have Pam Grier with your back in a bar fight, but not Lucy Lawless before your time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? Pam Grier is technically before your. No, she's not before. She's timeless. Pam Grier is timeless. So declares the Film Sociology Trio. So we got the Film Sociology Trio. We got Film Sociology News Department.
Yes,
with
News
Tracy
Department.
Tracy Mitchell.
We got our different correspondents.
The Aaron Andrews of Film Sociology. Hi, Tracy. No hotel remarks there, Mike Perry. So we're just branching out. We're becoming an HD2 conglomerate. And of course, yeah. And then we have the kids division. She's too busy looking at YouTube clips at my desk right now. So, yeah, and she still enjoys Yellow Submarine, even if you don't.
It's dumb. It's just stupid. It's just...
Hippie Beatles.
Yes.
Not good.
Yeah.
That's,
it is not good.
Oh, that's a shame. That's really unfortunate.
Of course, the big news over Christmas.
What's that?
For me.
Yes.
Yes!
Oh, yes, yes, that's right. When are we having... Is Kobe going to be the pallbearer? No, pallbearer. The ring bearer?
The pallbearer?
He's going to be wrestling manager Paul Bearer. Yeah. It was actually Percy Pringle. Is it? We're going to... You know what? With Kobe, you better sew the ring to the pillow.
Yes, but I am going to be getting married. We have the... we haven't set a date yet, but I'll be marrying Miss Randall.
My first grade teacher.
Kobe's
I'll be,
first grade teacher.
I'll be jumping out of the cake. And Mike will be hammering it shut. Here's words to live by.
Silent Green is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Kobe. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. Pistons win more. We gone!